Welcome to the SMY Podcast. We're changing up our format for today's show. Instead of one in-depth conversation about one topic, today we'll hear about three things happening in our schools. First, the big one, the Spring Musical. March is Music in Our Schools Month, and the South Milwaukee High School Theater Company picked a musically delicious show, which is running this weekend, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. And most of you won't hear this before the show ends its run, but I get to catch a preview of the show, and everything was fantastic. The costumes, the stage, the props, and the music. Instead of being down in the pit, as they normally would be, the musicians spend the whole show on stage on risers, very similar to when the Glenn Miller Orchestra played the Performing Arts Center in September. I caught up with the violinist, Senior Addison, during warm-ups to talk about what being in the orchestra is like. So I'm going to put the mic on your stand, too, and let's try it again.
I am a senior at South Milwaukee, and I play in the pit for Chicago.
So I'm using this for a podcast, too, so need to hear me, too. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's taken to get ready for the show?
It's definitely taken a lot of preparation. We've spent a lot of the past weeks working with the cast, crew, Mr. Stepp, Mr. Backus, to just kind of pull everything together, and it's taken a lot of practice.
What's it like to play violin in this show?
I don't know. It's like we have like main parts, not main parts, so it's kind of just like a balance of everything. It's hard because we only have two violins versus all of like the rest of the band, so it's kind of just like a balancing act.
How about the style of music? Has it been very different from what you're used to?
Yeah, so as a violinist, we lean more towards like classical like playing. This is very jazzy, very different style than what we're used to.
How much time, if you had to guess, have you put into practicing for Chicago?
Definitely a lot. I wouldn't say a number. I would just say it took a lot of time. Just like between at home, between here at school. For the last week, we've been here for hours after school practicing.
So you've been here a long time now. How many spring musicals have you participated in?
So this would be my third one. I started with Sound of Music, and then I ended up playing in Legally Blonde, and then this is my third one.
So always in the pit?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, always in the pit when I can be.
Tyler Stepp, whose day job is orchestra teacher at the South Milwaukee High Middle School, is the show's conductor and puts it all in perspective for us. Can you tell me what kind of work has gone into putting Chicago together with your musicians this year?
Absolutely. So we start rehearsing about early January once we come back from winter break, and every rehearsal was two times a week, and we go for about an hour, 15, hour and a half throughout January, February, and now into March. So it's a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of great work coming from the students in a short amount of time.
How many pieces are they performing during the course of the show, and is it not beyond their technical level because they're doing it, but was it beyond where they were when they started?
So Chicago is about a 90-minute show, and in total, there are about 35 different pieces that they are going to be playing. So for example, like a lot of the books go between 70 to 80 pages worth of music, and obviously it's not beyond their technical ability, but one of the awesome things about being a student musician in the pit is the amount of growth that you get to show, because this is a professional level piece of music. Every musical is played on Broadway, and they don't cut the books for music short in that. So what we're playing on stage is what they would play in Broadway. And so it's a really good opportunity for students to grow and to learn and to be able to play a professional level piece of music.
How many students do we have playing and how many community members? And then I'll ask a second question to follow up. What's the advantage, or what's the benefit students get from working with people in the community?
So this year in the pit, we have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, about 10 student musicians and about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 community members playing with us. So it's a good mix. And the real benefit of having community members come in and play with us is the ability to have students be mentored by professional musicians throughout the community, right? It's not often that they get to play side by side with musicians of professional level. And I think they can attest to that every year, those that come back and play in the pit, they enjoy playing with the community members, just to be able to help build up their self-esteem and be able to build a relationship with our community members.
Yeah. How many, are they all high school students?
Yes, this year all of the pit members are high school students.
Is there a difference between being on stage this year versus being in the pit?
Oh, there's a major difference. The most obvious one is that typically when they're in the pit, we can do theme days. So, because you don't see the musicians, we do like a pajama day or a superhero day. This year we have to dress up. So that's the first like major visual that the audience will see. And the other thing is when we're in the pit, we have to be mic'd up. So because we're under the stage and the sound doesn't travel as well, typically we have mics down there to help bring it out to the audience. This year, there are very few standing mics, and there are only a few instruments that have microphones on them, just because naturally they don't project as loud. So like this year, for example, our brass instruments, they're not mic'd up, and you will 100% be able to hear them, which is really cool. Chicago's really fun, it's really jazzy, and it's not a style of music that these students get to play all the time, so it's been really fun for us.
What style of music is it?
It's jazz. It's jazz music. So, like, the theme of Chicago is this jazz style, like, 1920s Chicago. So, like, some of the notes in the music are, like, play in the style of Duke Ellington. So it's really cool in being able to teach, like, well, what does the style of Duke Ellington mean? It's been really fun.
Now, on to Blakewood Elementary School and something completely different. Like I said before, it's March, and college basketball and March Madness is in full swing. Second grade teacher Emily Kelly uses the madness to increase her students' excitement for reading. Two second graders, Emma and Gavin, tell us how it works.
Last week. Mm-hmm.
Well, are you ready to start?
Yeah.
For real?
Is this turned on?
It is, yeah. It's all ready to go. Okay, well, I gotta turn mine on. Gavin, what is the Tournament of Books?
The Tournament of Books is like a competition where we see, like, one week we read. So we read this side, like, last week and this side this week. And at the end, we'll see which one's the 2025 Book of the Year.
Oh, Emma, how do you count which book? Which one wins? How do you know?
we have the two books, and we read the two books, and then we go to our seats, and then we vote. We put our heads down, and our teacher says the book, and if she says the book you want, you raise your hand.
Ah, okay. While you still have the microphone, what was your favorite book so far?
On this one, it were probably the What Ifs.
What Ifs? Why did you like that one?
Because a lot, like, everybody gets the What Ifs, and, like, it's really funny.
Yeah, what's a What If? Give me an example.
Like, if you were going on stage and you're like, what if I accidentally fall off the risers?
Oh. Yeah, you're right. I guess everybody does have a what if. So that's how it works. I talked to Mrs. Kelly about why she does it. So how do we choose the books that are on the wall?
Sure. So sometimes I find them on Scholastic, the ones that tend to be popular. A lot of times they're just on different websites that teachers have where they found books that they really like, and we try to include them in there. I also want to make sure that I have diverse characters, diverse people in the stories, as well as diverse people that have written the stories, to make sure that we're showing everybody that might be in our classroom in the books that we're reading.
And then how does voting work? How do you decide which one wins in each matchup?
Yeah, so we, at least in my classroom, after I read both of the stories, I have the students put their heads down so that they're voting with the one that they want to pick, not the one that their friend wants to pick. And then they raise their hand and we tally it up. All of the books go to all of the first and second grade classes. And then at the end of the week, we figure out who, out of everybody, which book won.
Does it add a little bit of excitement during story time because they're all being pit against each other?
A little bit, yep. It's a little healthy competition. We have noticed that the kids get really excited about the two stories, and especially when they're figuring out at the end of the week, like, which one's won. They're super excited. They want to see their favorite win.
So the first and second grade classes are participating. How do you balance what's appropriate for a first grader and what's appropriate for a second grade?
Yeah, so the cool thing about this is that the teacher is reading it, so we don't have to worry about anyone's reading ability or their reading level. They get to sit and hear grade level text or even higher text, which is good for their comprehension and their critical thinking skills. All of the themes in the books are appropriate for elementary school age kids, so we don't even have to worry about that. It kind of exposes them to something that maybe they wouldn't have read on their own because they don't have the ability to yet, where teachers can now read it to them.
Has there been a clear favorite? Do we know who the winner is going to be?
No. The first little round that we did, there was some that really knocked it out of the park. But now this second round, we're doing the other half of the Sweet 16. They're neck and neck. There's no telling.
Do you see, do the students talk about it more that you're doing this? Do you see them trying to peek at the book or borrow it during maybe some free time?
They haven't tried to peek at the book to see the book ahead of time, but they have tried to peek at the tallies to see who is maybe winning. So we have to hide that a little bit. They have asked to see the books after we've read them. They want to look at the pictures closer. They want to maybe reread part of the stories that they're able to read, which is exciting.
So how long does the tournament go?
We try to align it with March Madness as best as we can. The final game for March Madness, I believe, is April 7th. So we have this slated to end on April 4th. And we would like to get some, maybe some people to come in and read the final two stories to everybody together and make it a celebration.
Finally today, we check in on our TechRise engineers in the middle school. If you're not familiar, in February, we learned that STEM teacher Isabel Mendiola and her students won a $1,500 grant and a spot in the NASA TechRise competition. They're just one of 60 schools in the nation to be accepted, and the only one in Wisconsin. We did the last podcast all about that. Today, we check in because the student engineers are up against a May deadline to build, program, and test their probe, which will end up with the other devices soaring into the stratosphere in a weather balloon. First, I checked in with the students, Kaylin, Fatima, and Julissa, and then teacher Isabella Mendiola.
Hi, it's Kaylin. I'm a NASA tech engineer, and this week we are working on, or this is week 7, and we are working on building the physical sensors for the payload.
Okay, last week we practiced online, and this week we're going to be doing the actual building.
We're building many different sensors. This one specifically is formaldehyde, but there's also benzene, ozone, temperature, and humidity, and there's a few more.
Okay, so tell me, where are we? The students told me we're at week 7. Where are we?
Okay, so we are getting ready for our meeting on Thursday with the NASA Tech RISE engineers. Week 7 is for preparing all our components or our sensors. Right now they are testing all the 5 sensors for gas, and they are using CircuitPython for a testing those 5 sensors. Also, they are testing coding, they are testing all the equipment that we will need for our next step, which is basically doing the wiring of all the components that are going to be inside the payload. Mm.
And so 7 weeks in, what have you learned about this process?
Well, first, teamwork. Teamwork, sharing responsibilities, also to work with a new program, because we were using in the classroom C++ and Arduino Uno. This new program is actually asking us to use MicroPython, and is what we are using. So learning new coding, learning new wiring, and of course the design of the payload is going to be very different this year. So this is what we are learning during these last 7 weeks.
Mm. How do you feel about how the project's going overall?
Amazing. I'm so excited to see the way my students are working, how all the things that they have accomplished. Actually, they have received a lot of good comments from the NASA Tech RISE team that, yeah, they are doing great. Coders, we have they test all the components using something called Tinkercad for digital design. They test the components before do the wiring. They are doing great. They do not touch a component before they do the digital design. They do it in digital the simulator, using a simulator. And then when everything is working, they attach all the sensors. So they are excellent working with these kind of programs.
Sure. So what are some of the biggest obstacles that you've encountered, and did you expect them?
Okay. So the first thing was finding the sensors that we're going to work with Arduino Uno and with MicroPython. When we found them, it happened that when we did a test in both programs, was working only either in Arduino or in MicroPython. So we need to redesign the project. So we need to actually buy new sensors for MicroPython. And now we are testing them and are working, but it took more time than we expected. Mm-hmm. So that was our
barrier. Yeah. And then do you feel on track for where you need to be?
Actually, the engineers, it was great to see that they sent us an email. They said, you're doing great. You are actually, the 7 weeks, you are ahead for 1 week. So even with that delay that we had, still
so you're a
working.
Week ahead. Yeah.
We have all the sensors working. I mean, it's amazing. Mm. We haven't lost any component. We haven't burned anything.
Everything's working. No disasters yet.
No, they are very excited about how things are working. They are very careful. When they work with those materials, they're very careful. That's why no accidents. That's why things are working.
How did soldering go? I know last week.
That was the new learning. They did great. Actually, we submit some photographs of the soldering, all the little breadboards that they were using. The engineers were impressed. They were impressed about the work that they did.
Nice. And when does it start looking like a payload?
The payload, we still have 3 weeks working with assembling the components and then the testing. That test is going to be done when we close the walls of this payload, and then we start actually doing the test in their program when the machine is ready.
Do you take it for testing, like, in real environments, or do you spray benzene on it and see what happens?
We use an environment with different temperatures. Of course, different areas can be in here in the classroom, in the school, or outside. We test as well in a simulator. We use a simulator for testing the whole project. So yeah, and then we collect that data. That data is sent to NASA so they can see how the machine is working, and actually that is working.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That is the most important thing.
And then if something's not working, you have some time to go back and fix it.
Yeah, that's why we have to do tests of this payload for, I don't know, 10, 15 times. Mm-hmm. And collect data so we can see that the sensors all are working.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, and then if you had to sum up the project so far in one sentence, what would you say?
About this, what my students are building is actually a device that is going to be very useful for our community. And it's actually engineering that NASA uses. So our students are learning programming, are learning engineering prototyping that is used by important industries and companies in here in the United States.
All right, thank you. That's our show about cool and interesting learning going on around South Milwaukee. Couple of items to note as we leave. Spring musical concerts are next week for the elementary schools, and the PTO will be selling carnations again to celebrate your budding musician. Then, spring break starts on March 24th, and students come back on April 1st. No joke. During spring break, the Buildings and Grounds Department has a vendor that will burn the natural prairie around the 612 campus. I can talk for at least an hour about prairie burns, get really excited about them, but they do cause some dark smoke. Don't be alarmed if you see it, and if you live around those buildings, you might want to close the windows that day. Lastly, on April 3rd, there's a workshop on a potential community recreation center. A 19-member committee of community members, teachers, and administrators has been meeting since October about this idea, which has been floating around for some time. And we're talking about it now because it was identified by, again, a committee of community members when we laid out our 5-year strategic plan last year. No decisions are made about whether to have one or not, but we do want to get your thoughts on the topic on April 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Enter at door 24 and head to the North Gym to participate. That's door 24. You can learn more or RSVP on the Rec Department's website, www.smrecdept.org. If there's something you want to hear more about on the podcast, shoot me an email, info@sdsm.k12.wi.us. Thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you next time.